from Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, chapter 3, The Lord's Pastimes, out of Vrindavan. Text 22. Tasya evam rama manasya samvatsara ganam bahum grihamedesu yogesu samajayata. Tasya his evam thus ramamanasya enjoying sanvatsara years ganam many bahun great many grihamedesu in household life yogesu in sex life viragaha detachment samajayata awakened. The Lord was thus engaged in household life for many, many years, but at last this detachment from a feminine sex life was fully manifested. Purport. Even though the Lord is never attached to any kind of material sex life, as the universal teacher, he remained a householder for many, many years just to teach others how one should live in householder life. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains that the word samajayata means fully exhibited in all his activities while present on the earth. The Lord exhibited detachment. This was fully displayed when he wanted to teach by example that one should not remain attached to household life for all the day of one's life. One should naturally develop detachment as a matter of course. The Lord's detachment from household life does not indicate detachment from his eternal associates, the transcendental karma damsels. But the Lord desired to end his so-called attachment to the three modes of material nature. He can never be detached from the service of his transcendental associates like Rukmini and other goddesses or fortune, as described in the Brahma Samhita 529, Lakshmi Sahasra Satasam Brahma Sevya Maham. Om Agyanati Manandasya Yanandana Sarakaya Shakshurim Militamya Tasmai Shri Gurve Nama Shri Chaitanya Manabhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kalamayam Vada Kriswa Padantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishamsya Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitantam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sivisakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopisa Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorani Radhe Vrindavane Ishvare Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamani Haripiye Vancha Kalpatrubhita Kripa Sanduyevicha Aditanam Pavanevyo Vaisnavevyo Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasani Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So Krishna, when being engaged in household life, was performing the exemplary activity. The Brihad Bhagavatamrita, which is kind of the same message of Srimad Bhagavatam, but then again summarized. So there it is, find that Krishna is in Dwarka, and on one particular day Krishna did not get up from bed. So everyone is tiptoeing in the palace, trying to be very quiet, and they say that Krishna is not well, he has a headache. And it is at one stage that Satyabhama says, I am sick and tired of this hypocrisy here. I mean, this is just too much. Krishna has a headache. Come on, give me a break. Satyabhama, please. I'm telling you, give me a break. Satyabhama, please. Satyabhama could not be stopped. And Satyabhama basically pointed out, we all know very well what is the real cause for Krishna not getting up. Satyabhama, you know, Krishna did not get up today out of separation. Out of separation from the residents of Vrindavan. Everyone knows in Dwarka, all the queens know, that Krishna in his sleep, while dreaming, sometimes is saying the names of the gopis in Vrindavan. They know it very well. That actually his real attachment is there. And Krishna says, that actually, I think that the residents of Vrindavan are the original personalities, and that the residents of Mathura are the imitation. And my experience is the proof of this, because whenever I am with the residents of Mathura, I'm thinking of the residents of Vrindavan. But when I'm with the residents of Vrindavan, I'm not thinking of the residents of Mathura. So when Krishna was in household life, it was internally he was still in Vrindavan. So it was a major problem. Krishna was totally incapacitated. He could not function. Then at that point, Lord Brahma descended with on his transcendental swan carrier. And Lord Brahma then began to speak. And he said, the mission of the Lord is paritranaya sadhanam vinasya saduskrinda dharma samstarpaya dharma samstarpaya sambhavami. His duty is, or his mission is, to establish the principles of religion. But in this way, the Lord is not functional and he cannot fulfill that mission. Therefore, what we should do, we will call Vishwakarma and we will ask Vishwakarma to construct an imitation Vrindavan. And we'll just go to Krishna and say that yes, we're going to Vrindavan. And in that way his mind will be pacified. So the plan was executed and Vishwakarma built a perfect replica of Vrindavan. You couldn't tell the difference. There was even a statue of Mother Yasoda which looked so lifelike. And she had some bowl with rice and yogurt in the hand. And in this way, they all went to Krishna and said, Krishna, we're going to Vrindavan. We're taking you to Vrindavan. And Krishna, yes, let's go. And Krishna was going to Vrindavan, and he was in this Vrindavan, and then he saw Mother Yasoda with that bowl with the rice and yogurt and bananas mixed, and he just snatched it from her hand, and she was standing there like a statue. But that happened more often. When she had ecstatic symptoms, she would be frozen, so he didn't think much of that. Rohini and Balaram, they were also there. They could go because they are both in Vrindavan pastimes and in the Dwarka pastimes. But all the other residents of Dwarka were hiding behind the bushes to watch. And Krishna was in so much ecstasy. And he was just so happy. And then Krishna, he ran along the pasturing grounds and suddenly came to the ocean.
This is not Vrindavan. I have been cheated. This is Dwarka. And then, just then, Lord Brahma came on his swan carrier and followed by all the residents of Dwarka, and Lord Brahma started quoting Paritranaya Sadhanam Vinasya Saduskritam Dharma Samsarpanataya Sambhavami Yuge Yuge. I know everyone in India knows that slope. That is the fact that Krishna is coming in the world to establish the principles of religion. So then Krishna is acting externally in the mood of a teacher to the world. And as such, in his household life, Krishna was acting out the pastimes of a perfect householder. And early in the morning, Krishna, he will see only auspicious things. One is supposed to begin the day by seeing auspicious things. So they would have statues of cows that he could see and other such things, so that in the morning there are only auspicious impressions in the mind. We should postpone that, the negative ones, the mundane one, as long as possible. Why early in the morning? Why early in the morning talk pajalpa, some mundane topics? What? Waste of time. Only Krishna. We want to hear only about Krishna. Only speak about Krishna as long as possible. It's already bad enough when at work it goes, morning. Morning. Morning.
Good morning.
And like this, the vibes have begun. The vibes of the day have started, and we are back in a mundane environment. Postpone it as long as possible. Even over breakfast, you know, we can discuss how Krishna is having breakfast while we are having breakfast. And we can postpone the mundane subject matters as long as possible. The first thing to do is to not read the email. Because that is how it comes in. See, that's how the mundane... We can build a wall around the house and say, Maya not allowed. Yeah? Put big Krishna-conscious dogs which stand there in front of the gate and just bark, can make sure that, you know, every animal on the grounds, even the insects, are devotees. Mm. Oh yes, even the mosquitoes take only blood which has prasada inside. Like this, everything Krishna conscious, and then the email comes in. Just across all the walls, past all the dogs, somehow or other it's there. The world, Krishna forgotten. Didn't finish any rounds. How did that happen? Again. Like that. So, there must be a certain amount of internet control. That's a crucial element. Because what is the internet actually? Think about it. You know, I mean, we're speaking about controlling the mind, but what is the internet? The internet is the collective mind of all the people that are on there. Can you understand? It's an enormous mind. Right? It's enormous. I mean, our own mind is already quite, you know, impressive of all the kind of things that can come up there, right? It's kind of like something. But what can come up on the internet, I mean, that's inconceivable. Fortunately, mind you, yeah, take somebody to fix this thing so it stops going down. And yeah, this is fine. I just want to keep my spine straight. Don't knock my teeth out. Thanks. Oh well. The internet. Yeah. So it's the collective mind of all the people that are on there. Fortunately, there are devotees there, so Krishna is also there. But, you know, there's a lot more Maya than Krishna there. Right. And so on. Yes, yeah, so we must protect. Krishna was protecting his mornings. He would meditate on himself. We should not meditate on ourselves in the morning because we are not Krishna. But Krishna has no alternative. Who else can he meditate on? It's only himself to meditate on. There is no one else to meditate on. What to do? But we should do like Krishna does, meditate on Krishna in the morning. And it's as simple like that. Krishna would give in charity. During the daytime, Krishna would go into the Sudharma assembly house in Dwarka, which they had picked up from the heavenly planets when there was that fight over the Parijata tree. It's Satyabhama. She was jealous. She wanted this tree, right? Rukmini had it in the garden, and now she also wants it in her garden. Why she is having this tree from the heavenly planets and I am not having this tree from the heavenly planets. I mean, it's clear. It's clear who you really care for. It's very clear. And then they don't speak for 3 days, right? And walk around in silence around you. And if that doesn't work, they start humming a tune. Still not talking, but walking around. Until you hear, now it's enough! And they say, you're always so aggressive. Anyway, it's interesting. So all these rasas also are there in Krishna's household. Has all these things, yes, definitely. What can be said? Satyabhama. So anyway, Krishna got the Sudharma assembly house because he had to go and fight with Indra to get the Parijata, and he got it, and then he won, and then he got this Sudharma assembly house, which is a nice place because when you're in there, anyone who is in there doesn't grow older. So it's the sort of place, you know, I mean, move in. Move in. And just don't grow older. And, but yeah, you know, I mean, it's hard to stay in the perfect place. There is that old story of Shangri-La, right? And it's basically about a valley. And in this valley, there is this man who is in the Himalayas moving around, and one day he discovers somewhere in a very remote place, he discovers this valley. And there people are very young and beautiful, and no one is aging. And it's like a little paradise, and he's just there in this place. But you know, there is one problem, his mind. His mind is also there. And his mind is filled with the memories of the life he had before. And it just starts to eat at him more and more. And at one point, he feels, I have to go. I mean, it's just, I'm going to stay here, I have to go. So, you know, when the mind has a desire, then the mind has to find an excuse to justify that desire. So finally he comes up with the excuse, and the excuse is that this is such a wonderful place, I have to tell the world about it. Basically it was, I can't stay here anymore.
But he had to tell the world, and he left. And when he left, then, you know, I saw the movie also, read the books or the movie, and in the movie, it's shocking, because as he leaves Shangri-La and he comes outside, he ages. He just, all those years that he missed out, they grow on his face, and he's just like, lines, and it just goes on way beyond what I can imitate here on the seat. Has sort of a shocking side, you know, see that, like how that age is catching up with him. So we are the same, right? Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur once gave a lecture, and at the end, and everyone was there, and there were many visitors from Calcutta, and people were very happy with the lecture. The mood was very kind of casual and jovial and happy. And then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said, he said, nobody should go. I said, yes, nobody should go, yes. Yes, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said, yes, we will all stay here. And then he turned to someone, isn't it, Babu? And Babu said, but I already have a ticket. I said, that's okay, just throw it away. I mean, don't go. And everyone was trying to sort of laugh it off. Ha ha, good joke. Very nice. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta became dead serious. There's no reason to go. But, and I could say the same today. There's no reason to go. And then, but, my car is parked outside. And I get a ticket, you know. I mean, it's only limited parking time. I have to make sure that I move the car. There's no reason to go. There's not even a reason to pick up the car. Just let it, leave it there. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. It is like that if we would just completely surrender, then there was no need to go back for anything. Perfection attained. Everything is here. It's all perfect. Ah well, but what about the family? Anyway, don't worry. We see in the descriptions of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes that this is exactly what happened. That when Nityananda was performing his kirtans throughout West Bengal, they were ecstatic kirtans. They were such ecstatic kirtans that old men started jumping so high, they jumped into the trees and were dancing on the branches. Really? Yes. And the branches didn't break, even when they were thin ones. Yeah, so it was an amazing kirtan. And the thing was, as that kirtan was going to Bengal, it attracted many people. And they just didn't go home. They just stayed. And of course, after a while, the family came looking for them. And then they also stayed. So in this way, this is the way to boost up the population of the temple. We're wondering, nobody joins anymore. Right? It's very easy. If we just stay, people will all come. Just fill up the whole temple before you know it. And then we'll buy up the whole street. Why not? It's like in Los Angeles, there is Watsika Avenue, right? And the temple is at Watsika Avenue. And the whole street, it's all devotees. All the apartments, all the houses, all owned by devotees in Watsika Avenue. The whole street. They got the whole street gradually, little by little. Just bought the street. Yeah. So we can also buy the street. I know houses are not cheap, but, you know, Krishna is not poor. Krishna can provide. Yes. Where there's a will, there's a way. Why not? The whole street. And why stop at the street? It's a long street, dank street. So,
is that basically we are as transcendental as we want to be. That is the issue. The issue is not how do I become Krishna conscious? I'm trying so much to become Krishna conscious. The answer to that is we are as transcendental as we want to be. And we are as much in Maya as we want to be. And we want to be. That's why it's so hard. The story that is given is of a man who is holding on to a tree. And he said, he's holding on tight with his arms and he says, let me go, let me go. And he's holding on, let me go. Yeah. Or the other story, two stories. One of the beggar who goes to the temple and the beggar is weak and he's sort of, can hardly stand on his legs. He hasn't eaten for days. There's a pillar and he just leans against the pillar and holds his hands around the pillar. And he stands there. And one man, one pilgrim comes by and says, this beggar is in a bad way. Better give him something to eat. Says, here, I got some puff rice for you. The beggar says, just put it in my hands. He's got the puff rice in his hands. And then he's trying to eat. But the column is in between. And that way he can't eat. So, if we hold on to material attachment, we don't get spiritual nourishment. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also has an example about that. And that example is, you know, sometimes you have someone who is kind of skinny, but has a voracious appetite. He eats a lot, and still stay skinny. How is it possible? How can anyone be skinny and eat a lot? Worms. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, worms. The worms are eating everything, and therefore the person gets no nourishment. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta says, as long as we are infected with the worms of karma and jnana, the worms of desiring to enjoy the material world or escaping from the material world, we won't get the nourishment of bhakti. That's interesting. So at one point, yes, we have to let go. So Krishna is showing the example. Yeah? Krishna is merciful and is appearing as a householder, although Krishna has no actual business to be a householder. But Krishna, good morning, Your Majesty. Krishna appears as a householder and to out of his causeless mercy. So that is nice because it shows how much Krishna cares. For himself, there is no reason to really do all these things. But for us, to show us. Of course, Krishna always does have an internal purpose also. By being in Mathura and Dwarka, Krishna's purpose is to increase the love of the residents of Vrindavan, somehow or other. Because in separation, that love is increasing many, many times more. The intensity of desire to be with Krishna and the meditation on Krishna is going deeper and deeper. Therefore, Krishna leaves Vrindavan to increase the love of his devotees. So Krishna is always concerned with his devotees. Krishna is totally selfless, always working for his devotees to somehow or other increase their enjoyment. That is his enjoyment. That is his enjoyment. To increase their love. That is his greatest pleasure. That's what Krishna is enjoying. He's Bhoktaram Yajyatapasam. He is the supreme enjoyer. But it's not that Krishna is sitting here bring me some more grapes. You know, like a decadent Roman sense gratifier, but the original sense gratifier. Grapes. No, that Roman culture was totally decadent. They used a peacock feather to tickle their throat so they could throw up and then eat more. Then eat again. Just a little tickle. And then back at the dinner table. Do it again. Keep on feasting. Anyway, all that is perverted. But Krishna is Bhuktaram, the supreme enjoyer. And he's enjoying to see the love of his devotees increasing. There is no greater enjoyment. There is no other enjoyment. That is the enjoyment. Therefore, Krishna is Akila Rasamrita Murti, one who is the one who relishes all mellows, personified. That is Krishna. The reservoir of all pleasure, as Srila Prabhupada translated it, Akila Rasamrita Murti, in that little brochure that was made. That brochure was around for years, the reservoir of pleasure. So, like that, that is Krishna. So as a householder, Krishna's interest is to increase the love of all the devotees, the queens, the residents of Vrindavan, and our love as well, by leaving these pastimes for us. Krishna arranged it that one day Maharaj Pariksit went into the forest and that he became extremely thirsty. Extremely thirsty. So, you know, like, abnormally thirsty. So he comes into this ashram and there is this sage and, you know, he's a king and it's hot and, like, one of those days, it's a scorcher of a day. And Maharaj Pariksit is parched and he's just like, here's this sage. And the sage ignores him. Now he's a king, he's an emperor, you know. I mean, usually big receptions, you know, hundreds of people. The king has arrived at this time. No reception at all. So, gosh, you know, I mean, can't he even say hello? You know, can I just, like, you know, get, like, you know, he asks for some water. I mean, could I have some water, please? Just like a king has to beg for water, you know. And then gets ignored. Just like, you know, I mean, this is something. Even the basic things of some water, of receiving a guest with water. When you're supposed to receive a guest, you're supposed to offer him a seat and some water. Even that is denied here. Well, I'll offer him, like, due respect. And there was this dead snake. He hung it around his neck. Then, of course, the son was puffed up, this little puffed up bread Brahmin boy named Sringi, who was the beginning of the downfall of the Brahmanas. And Sringi said, who is a Ksatriya other than a dog outside the house of a Brahmana? Since when can Ksatriyas dine with their superiors? Then, how did the king have the right to ask for some water to his superior and subsequently act in such a way as to hang a dead snake around the neck of my father?
Touched water.
I will curse this king that he will die within 7 days from now by snake bite. See my formidable power. See my strength. Oh yes. Like this, Sringi. Sringi is the beginning of the fall down of the Brahmanas. It's the end of Brahmanism. or the beginning of like what terrorized India. Subsequently, since Sringi, India has been terrorized by Brahmanas who claim Brahmin right by birth, who were like stricter than strict about the rules, Niyamagraha, who lost the spirit of true religious principles. And just even like when a Sudra would have to come in their area to kind of do some like necessary cleaning work, which like, you know, it touched something untouchable that a Brahmana could not touch. Then those Sudras would have to ring a bell so that their shadows would not touch the shadows of the Brahmanas and that the Brahmanas could go quickly into the house. And thus, Varna Ashram has been systematically killed by these so-called Brahmanas. And Sringi was the forerunner of all of them. Pride. Pride. Yes, it is said in the Chaitanya Bhagavat that a person who really has good qualities is like a tree laden with fruit. And a tree that is laden with fruit will always bow its branches. And thus, we are showing humility in our behavior. And Krishna did the same way. Remember that Kaliya, that snake, who had come into the Yamuna and poisoned all the water. I mean, you know, and Krishna's friends, they drank it and they actually died. Krishna was looking for a lost calf. Krishna comes back, he comes back. All his friends dead. Everybody dead. Dead. Serious. The coward boys are all dead. Just dead. Anyway, so Krishna came. He sees all the coward boys, all the calves dead. He said, what do I do now? All my friends are dead. Anyway, he revived them. So Krishna brought all the coward boys back to life. So they are standing there like, we were dead. And they're sort of like holding their eyes, squeezing themselves. And just then, right, Krishna, they see Krishna climbs in a tree, so they're still sort of dazed, you know, after you've been dead. I mean, it's been a hell of a day, right? We were dead, dead today, you know. Gosh, that was enough for one day. Right? Then Krishna climbs in a tree, and next moment, he jumps into the river. Then he starts to play with the water. Making beautiful musical sounds with the water. And then, you know, indicating of what was going to come. There is music. And then that snake couldn't tolerate that sound and came out of the water. And sure enough, where there's music, there is dance. And it didn't take long before Krishna danced on the hoods of Kaliya. Some poison in the throat. Krishna then danced on the hoods of Kaliya. And in the beginning, Kaliya was trying to bite him, but after a while, these kicks got a little hard, and Kaliya had many hoods, so he got a multiple headache. Right? And it's not just a headache, a multiple headache, you know, it was serious. Right? I mean, that's what you call a headache. So it was getting desperate, and, you know, his wives, they were getting worried. So suddenly, all these lady snakes come out of the water, you know, and they go and they offer prayers to Krishna. And then they go, oh, Krishna, please don't kill our husband. What are we going to do with him? So what do you do? A whole bunch of ladies crying, so Krishna's there. Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay, I won't kill him then, you know. But what to do? That snake couldn't stay. He had killed all his friends. He was full of poison. Now, you know, if it was up to me in that situation, I would have said, now you listen, snake. You're lucky, you know. You're lucky. This time, you're getting away with your life. Right? But I'll tell you one thing, snake. If you ever show your snaky face again, in this part of town, you know, you won't get off that easy. announce, and then they would pull out my six shooters, and it would say, and now you dance, you snake, you dance, bang, bang, bang. And Kalia would have danced, right, all the way down the road, and turn around and shake his fist at me and say, I'll get you back someday. Right? And how did Krishna deal with it? He said, my dear king of the snakes, Kaliya said, oh, he knows I'm a king. My dear king of the snakes, I know very well why you have taken shelter of this Yamuna, because you were chased by Garuda, and Garuda was once cursed that he cannot come here to this Yamuna, or else he will die. Therefore, you knew that you would be safe here from Garuda. But now that I have danced on your hoods, my dear king of the snakes, I've left my footprints on your head. And therefore, now Garuda will respect you, and he will certainly offer you full respect. Therefore, you can return and resume your position as the ruler of your kingdom. Oh, yes. So he gave him good reasons to go. Yes, I gotta go now. I can go back to my kingdom. This is great. And in this way, Kaliya left very satisfied. And in this way, Krishna showed by his example how to deal in a very pleasing way, with pleasing words. And in this way, Krishna is the teacher of the world who teaches by example. And therefore, when we study the pastimes of Krishna, not only are we seeing amazing miracles, I mean, lifting Govardhan Hill and, you know, dancing on the hoots of snakes and all that, but then see how Krishna acts. What a noble personality Krishna is. Not just look at Krishna's strength and power, but look at Krishna's character. Krishna is not only unlimitedly beautiful. Krishna is not only unlimitedly strong. Krishna is not only just doing all these amazing things, but Krishna has an amazing character. And that is ultimately what melts us. That would melt, you know, even the heart of a polar bear. That would even melt the heart of an iceberg. That would melt everyone's heart except ours. And why is it that still our heart hasn't melted? Although icebergs have melted, although polar bears are dancing in ecstasy, and we are still unaffected by Krishna's amazing character. Although for so many years now, we got Prabhupada's mercy, the mercy of all the acharyas, we're chanting, we're here in the Hare Krishna movement where, you know, mercy comes from all sides, and still nothing. No love. No love at all. Nothing. Zilch. Hare Bol Krishna. I don't love you at all. I just love myself. You know, and extended selfishness. I love my family members as long as they love me. And as long as they're nice to me. And when they're not nice to me, I don't love them anymore. And I love my wife as long as she's young and beautiful. Or alternatively, as long as she cooks really well. Just to mention some material reasons. So why is it that in spite of all the mercy, we still don't love? Srimad Bhagavatam says, if the heart does not melt, it means the heart is steel framed due to offenses. So, therefore, at the time of initiation, we're emphasizing so much the 10 offenses. One shouldn't blaspheme the devotees, and one should basically be respectful to everything related to Krishna. If we just just are respectful to every to Krishna and everything related to him, then we'll avoid the offenses. So to be respectful, yeah. I mean it's a bit of a change of a culture. Get off it, mate! Yeah, get off it, right? You know, it's a change. Or you know, the other there's another way not to respect. Respectful, but very impersonal and not caring about the benefit. Because to respect another living being doesn't just mean some lip service. It means that we are caring. Non-violence. Respect is a form of non-violence. Non-violence doesn't just mean that we don't hit people over the head or animals or any creatures. No. Non-violence means that we also do something for their benefit. Just as someone's drowning in the Yarra River and you're walking on the banks and the person's calling out, help, help. You know, just walking past and saying, like, I'm not doing anything violent. Because he's not drowning because of me. So I'm not doing anything violent, and you just peacefully walk past, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. So ecstatic, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. And meanwhile someone is, no, jump in, save that person. How did the Hare Krishna movement gain so much fame in Australia? Because the devotees were preparing Rath Yatra, and they made a canopy for the Rath cart. And then there was a fire in a building next door and people were caught in the building. And the devotees went over with the canopy and they told the people, jump, jump. And the people jumped and got saved. Boy, after that, you know, it was big news and suddenly people were so interested. And it's a holy canopy and is it okay? You know, can you still use it? Yeah, no worries, you know. Oh yes, is it all right? And, oh, the Haris couldn't do any wrong at that time. So, just see, Krishna is like that. Krishna cares for everybody. And if we follow that example, oh yes, then surely our heart will melt. We'll dance with the polar bears in ecstasy, glorifying Krishna. Okay, any questions? Any comments? Yes, sir.
You mentioned we are as transcendental as we want to be. Uh-huh. Kunti Maharani prays that when one is materially exhausted, then he takes
Akinchana gocharam, tvam akinchana gocharam, Kunti Devi said, Janmaiswarya sutra sibir edalam vadapamam, naivartya vidatum vai tvam akinchana gocharam. She says, as long as you are attached to enjoying your birth or your wealth or your learning or your beauty, then you cannot approach Krishna with sincere feeling. And then, so that is our problem, you know. When we're not materially exhausted, we're not fully sincere. So we're lacking in sincerity. And that's holding us back. We don't really want to go back to Godhead. So like, well, okay, Krishna, I'll go back if you take me. I don't really want to work for it. Okay. I'll try to change. I'll try. Means I'm not doing it. I'll try. So whenever we say I'll try, basically means I'm not doing it. That's what it means, I try. So we can wait till we get materially exhausted. But the problem is that the living being in the material world has been here anadi bahya mukha, since time immemorial. You cannot trace out when we came into the material world. It has been that long. We are known to be almost nityabada. The scriptures speak about nityabada, eternally fallen. Can anyone be eternally fallen? No. But they, just as when a number gets too big, when you cannot count anymore, you just have a mathematical symbol, unlimited. Even when it's not unlimited, when it's just too big. Anything too big becomes unlimited. So nityabada, it's such a long time that we hear, we call it eternal, almost eternal. It's not eternal. There's no such thing as eternal damnation to the material world, but almost. So if we have to wait till we get materially exhausted, we can wait for a long time. Rajneesh used to have that philosophy, and he preached it, that you just indulge in sense gratification, and then after some time you get exhausted. And Prabhupada said, this is nonsense. He said, if that was true, then the hogs would be the most renounced. So that doesn't work. It is like throwing fuel on the fire, putting out a fire with petrol. For a moment, it may seem so. Yes, it's a Saturday night, and I ain't got nobody at the party, and after midnight, you let it all hang out after midnight. So it's like, you know. Then, on Sunday morning, very renounced, very renounced. Oh, would you like to? No. Just leave me alone. I don't want anything, you know. Go away. Very renounced. Not interested in any sense gratification. But by Sunday afternoon, I'll have a bit. And Sunday night, you know, it's weekend. Let's do it again. Tuesday, well, it was a good weekend. And on Wednesday, it's midweek, you know. And Thursday, Friday night is coming. Going to town. You see the point? So, we become temporarily exhausted and give up sense gratification. And then again, and therefore we continue with bhog and chag. Enjoying the senses. Oh no, I don't want no more. I had enough. Renouncing. And then after a while, bhog again, enjoy again. We'll just stay there. Chapala sukha, flickering happiness. Bhog and chak. Nectar of devotion. Like that. We'll go up and down. So you can wait a long time till you're materially exhausted. So we have to be materially exhausted, yet anujasina yukta karma granti nibandana. With the sword of knowledge, we have to cut the knot of karma. Bhagavatam, second chapter, first canto. Like that. So, with the sword of knowledge, we have to go now. Cut. It's painful to cut. Be brave. Come on. We're going to do it all together. Oh gosh, no. I can't. It's cutting. We have to give it up now, give up this attachment, give it up. If it's not good for Krishna, give it up. Be brave, we will not be losers, like that. Yesterday someone asked me the chocolate question. You know, shall we not? You count your buttons. Eh? Shall we eat chocolate? Shall we not eat chocolate? Shall we eat chocolate? Shall we not eat chocolate? Shall we eat chocolate? Yeah. And you come to your belly button, and then it says, we shall. Right? No, the point is this, is that, yeah, Srila Prabhupada was with the devotees in the early days. Hayagriva asked the question, can we eat chocolate? Prabhupada said, what is it? What's in it? He said, Hayagriva said, cocoa. Srila Prabhupada said, cocaine? Oh no, that we cannot take. So, therefore, of course, it was cocoa, is not cocaine. Therefore, people have seen, in later years, they dusted off that conversation and then, you know, it came sort of like the debate. Can we or can we not eat chocolate? At first, no, chocolate was totally forbidden, totally radioactive. If you look at chocolate, you'll be shot. I can understand that. No chocolate, forget it, you know. Then it was white chocolate, like a white lie. And then, you know, it's like, you know, truck it in, you know. Truck it in. Chocolate cakes, chocolate cookies, chocolate bars, you know, chocolate wheelbarrows, right? Move it down, you know, chocolate, yay. Bona fide chocolate. Anyway, so what is the situation? The situation is that, yeah, it's one of those things that are not 100% clear. Not 100% clear. Would Srila Prabhupada have said, if he would have known that it was cocoa instead of cocaine, would he have said, oh, then it's all right? Maybe. But maybe not. Maybe he would have said, no, it's not required, which was one of his favorite sayings for, it's not required, you know, which meant don't do it. So, therefore, what's the situation? I'll tell you about chocolate. It's not required. Is it forbidden? No, it's not forbidden. It's not required. There's no benefit for going back to Godhead and taking chocolate. But is it forbidden? No, it's not really clearly forbidden, but there was a GBC resolution on that chocolate was forbidden some years ago. And then there was a review of the GBC resolutions. Aniruddha knows that because he was on the subcommittee that was involved with it. And then they scrapped that. They scrapped it, the review committee. And the way I heard it, is the subcommittee went before the GBC body and they said there were all these obsolete resolutions, you know, and we just scrapped them, you know. And then someone asked, well, can you give an example? Oh, like that one about chocolate. Anyway, it got scrapped. So therefore, is chocolate forbidden? According to ISKCON law, which is, you know, blessed, the senior Vaishnavas have blessed. So it's not forbidden, but it's not required. So that's the answer. It's not required. So I don't take it, because I only want to take things that are required. But it's up to you. Okay, now we have to become social and, you know, and we should become the Hari Salvos, right? We start like the Hare Krishna Salvation Army and we go around and, you know, help people and, you know, pick up bums off the street and put them in bed and, you know, Hare Krishna. And least the genuine Hare Krishna. So how far should it go? Real helping means to give people transcendental help, not mundane help. So our helping is give them books, give them prasadam, you know, give them the holy name. When they stuff their ears, chant a little louder, so they get it somehow or other. Give them transcendental mercy. That is helping. But at the same, here is someone, he's half dead, right? And you say like, chant Hare Krishna. Sort of like, you know, it's nice, but you may also have to add some material help at the same time. So we combine it, just as food for life. You know, my spiritual master, he did a seminar called Food for Death. So that shocked a few people. Food for death. I mean, why? And then he gave all kinds of quotes from Prabhupada, pointed out that prasadam distribution just by itself was not what Prabhupada's intention was, but that it should be accompanied with the holy name. Because although we sometimes say, you can eat yourself back to Godhead. Yeah? Have you heard that? I've heard it. But it's not really true. Because the Yuga Dharma is Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalu, Nasteva, 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 Bhaktira, Yata. So you can eat a long time, right? And but still not going back to Godhead. You have to chant Hare Krishna. And along with it, we definitely have to take prasadam. Otherwise, how can we continue chanting Hare Krishna? If you don't take prasadam, it's not possible to continue chanting. So prasadam is essential for chanting. But not that prasadam without chanting, it will be sufficient. So, therefore, always the chanting is what is the connection. Transcendental sound, Srimad Bhagavatam. So help the old lady across the street and slip a book in her.